We've been cooped up in our Steadyhand office for a while, so we figured it was time for a field trip. So here we are at the offices of Connor Clark & Lund Investment Management Limited, the manager of our savings fund and income fund. In today's podcast, we discuss the Steadyhand Income Fund with Jay Menning, an important member of CC&L's fixed income team. Jay's primary responsibilities include credit analysis and corporate security selection. Welcome, Jay.
Thank you.
If you don't mind, let's start off by talking about your firm. Tell us a little bit about Connor Clark & Lund and the team that's involved in managing the Steadyhand Income Fund.
Sure. One thing that we're quite proud of at CCL is that we've just had our 25th anniversary, in fact. We're a firm that's primarily based in Vancouver. That's where all the investment managers reside, but we also have offices across the country. We are now about $20 billion in assets under management, of which about $8 billion is fixed income. We remain proudly partner-owned, and it is our strong intention to stay that way. As far as the fund management goes, the primary responsibility of the management of this fund is the fixed income team. As well, the fund benefits from our Canadian equity team's analysis and decision-making in the REIT and income trust areas. And a little bit about the fixed income team. We are 8 members strong now. We've got 3 credit specialists, of which I am one. We have 2 traders and 3 people focusing on the macroeconomic environment, which if you put us all together, we've got about 70 years of experience.
Now, the Steadyhand Income Fund isn't a conventional bond fund. Can you dig a little deeper into the fund's strategy, the asset classes that it can invest in, and the scope that the team has in pursuing the fund strategy?
Sure. It's absolutely a little different from your standard bond fund. The first difference is that we've got more of an emphasis on corporate bonds, including a small weighting in high-yield bonds. It's our belief that over the long run, exposure to credit like this will provide incremental income. As well, the corporate bond universe is so large that it really opens up so many options for us. In fact, if we feel strong enough about the opportunities in corporate land, we could in fact go to 100% corporates in this fund. There is that flexibility available to us. And of course, the other major difference is the REIT / income trust portion of the fund. These investments will typically be about 25%, but as I say, we have a lot of flexibility to change that as per opportunities that we see.
Now, within the corporate portion of the fund, could you give us a few examples of, is there any foreign bonds in there, or do you invest in any maple bonds or any kind of non-conventional assets?
We do absolutely invest in foreign bonds, and in fact, we're quite excited about the increased opportunity set that's in front of us now that we are able to invest in the maple market, but also in foreign bond markets. We can buy U.S.-denominated bonds, hedge the currency as we see fit, or euro-denominated for that matter. And as I mentioned before, it's what we've got in front of us is a really large universe of opportunities to choose from.
Now, is it fair to say that foreign exposure would be fairly small, or?
It's not a large portion of the fund today, but I would say that it's growing as we get more comfortable with the credit markets outside of Canada.
So how is the fund currently positioned, and what would lead you to make any changes over the short to medium term?
Scott, currently we have a little bit less than we might have on average in the REITs and the income trusts area. One reason for this is we're finding fairly reasonable opportunities elsewhere, for example, in certain high yield names. And I would say we're probably mildly concerned with valuations in the space right now. What would cause us to change this in the short to medium term? We'd be watching valuations quite closely, and in particular, how REIT and income trust valuations compare to corporate bond and high yield bond valuations. And should things swing more in favor of equity-like investments, then we would certainly switch some of the fund into REITs and income trusts. On the corporate side of things, we have some in-house models that we follow that dictate how much we want to have in corporates versus non-corporates. And right now, they're pointing to a fairly good risk-reward profile for corporates. So we have a fair amount in there now at 54%. Should the models change, or should we see some external event risk factors, which the models don't capture, we would certainly reduce the corporate bond exposure. But right now we're comfortable with our higher weighting there.
Given that the fund invests in more than just bonds and pursues a number of strategies, is it a lot riskier than a typical bond fund?
It's an interesting question. I would say that over the long run, it's actually not a lot riskier. It's a little counterintuitive to understand, but first, I'll fill you in on some analysis we've done. We looked back in history at a portfolio that was a mixture of our bond fund and some income-oriented equities like REITs and income trusts. And in fact, we found that a mixture of 80% bond fund, about 20% income-oriented equities, actually had the same volatility characteristics as the Scotia McLeod Bond Index. It's a little counterintuitive, but the reason for this is that the two are not perfectly correlated. And in plain English, that means that when one zigs, the other is zags.
Let's wrap up here by talking a little bit about the juice behind the fund, if you will. Roughly a quarter of the fund is invested in REITs and income trusts. Can you provide some color on what you look for in these types of securities?
Absolutely. We are, I would say, a bit more focused on REITs now. Beyond 2011, REITs will be the sole tax-exempt asset class, so that's the reasoning behind that. However, we do still look at business and utility trusts, and while they are being phased out by 2011 under the federal government's tax fairness plan, they do offer a large pickup in yield and growth, and frankly are becoming a bit more of an inefficient market as we near 2011, which offers us some opportunities. In this segment, we really focus on companies that can deliver stable cash flow streams to fund holders, and we base our valuations not on the traditional distributable cash model. We base them more on comparables versus equities. We avoid depleting assets in this segment like oil and gas royalties, and our focus really lies on business and utilities trusts. Beyond 2011, we expect to see the conversion of many of these trusts to high-yielding equities, which will continue to offer opportunities to this fund.
Well, thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule, Jay. We'll let you get back now to what you do best. And don't take that the wrong way. It wasn't meant to be a knock on your podcasting skills. And thanks to all our listeners for tuning into this podcast. We'll be back in the coming weeks and months with more conversations with our fund managers.